You're listening to the Points of Interest Podcast Network. You can find us at poipodcast.com. For the love of pod.
You. Listen to me. This is why you were selected. You're paragons.
Yeah, I'm still a little unclear on what all that means.
It means you're powerful enough to hold the line. To buy us the time we need.
To do what?
Rebirth the universe.
Would like a do-over.
Dawn of Time is the only place it can happen. I'll light the spark. You fan the flame.
And how do we do that?
You'll know when it's time.
Why do you cosmic types always have to be so obtuse?
If I knew, I'd tell you.
All right, we're back here with the Hunters and Sarah J and myself talking Crisis. We were just talking about episode 3, yep. And it was cute to see you geek out when Black Lightning showed up.
I love Black Lightning. I absolutely love the show. And just seeing him, like, just show up, I was like,
I felt bad for him. Like, they're in the middle of this, like, whole thing with, like, a reactor that's going to explode, and they stopped, like, the other Barry Allen from running, and they're like, no, like, you have to get me back on that. And then Black Lightning shows up, and they're like, okay, can you shoot lightning at this while the grown-ups talk? Like,
yeah. I was like,
he literally just, like, I have no idea where I am. Where's my family? Oh, they're all dead. But... if you could just shoot some lightning at this for us for a second, who the hell are you? Doesn't matter. Make it the zappy zap, okay?
I would have loved that if they had actually said make with the zappy zap. I would have absolutely been, like, just ecstatic.
Come on, baby, do the magic hand thing. But yeah, no, I kind of felt bad for him. Like, he got a nice moment with Barry, though, because they got to connect over the fact that all of the people they love died.
Yeah.
So.
But no, I mean, that was sad, but at the same time, it was like, I just loved seeing Black Lightning actually be a part of this whole huge...
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, on his Earth, it was just...
He got to sit at the cool kids' table, finally. Like, instead of having to eat his lunch in the bathroom...
Yeah, pretty much.
He finally got to come, and they're like, no, no, sit with us! Can you carry our trays?
Make with a zappy zap.
Yeah. It's gonna be my new thing. Man. Whenever I want somebody to do something at work, I'm gonna be like, hey, can you make with a zappy zap? Like... No, it was good to see. I was glad that they finally introduced him as a character. He was completely underutilized in the crossover.
Yeah.
When I found out he was joining the crossover, I was hopeful that he was going to do something.
Yeah.
Other than be, like, a USB charging cable. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He'd be an Apple product. He'd be a Thunderbolt.
Oh.
Yes. All coming into place. Then you got to come back at the end.
Like, yeah.
You got to come back for the big fight scene.
Yeah.
At the end with everybody, which was great. So episode 4, we've got, like, battle in unnamed rock quarry against the Dementors and the forces of evil.
Dementors.
So what else are you going to call it? Like,
I know.
Unless they were supposed to be, like, those time wraiths.
Oh, that's,
that kept showing up.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of looked similar, but I don't know. That's the only other thing.
Expecto Patronum. Oh, sorry, wrong one. Wrong franchise.
But yeah, no, like, that was interesting, and it got Ollie, like, the good send-off line of, like, no, you have failed this universe.
Yeah,
like,
that was good.
Yeah, that's cheesy as hell, but I love it. It was a good, like, emotional build-up of, like, oh my god. And you're like, oh, you're at the end of episode 4. Like, the hell is gonna happen in episode 5?
Episode 5, the beginning where Supergirl woke up to the new universe was a great nod to the comic where Superman woke up and did the same thing.
Yeah, no, like, it was really cool. And for a second, I questioned my knowledge of the series, because Weather Witch showed up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's Weather Witch. Wait a second, she's from Flash. Wait, is she? Oh my god, I don't even remember anymore. There's so many one-shot villains that have been in all of these shows. And then, like, Supergirl shows up, and she's like, I'm going to stop you this time, Supergirl. And she's like, I have no idea who you are. I'm like, thank you! And then they had the best cameo.
Oh, Marv Wolfman.
Marv Wolfman!
Yeah.
Coming in and going, oh, I love it when you and Supergirl team up. Like, I mean, he's not an actor, so I can't blame him for that. But it was kind of cute. Like, this is a strange old man that, like, when you think about the broader implications of this, you realize that this old man apparently carries around a photo of Supergirl and Batman, the Flash, hoping to run into them at some point together. And he happened to. But it was great. It was a nice, like, well, you're on my Earth. No, I'm not. I'm on my Earth. And realizing, like, oh my god. Like, I was just sitting there, like, Kristen was, like, watching me, like, in the room when I'm watching this episode. And I was like, oh my god. Oh my god. Like, they're all together. Like, this is everything's together now. And you're like, oh my god. And, like, we've got, like, the DEO brought to you by, like, Luther Corp and
DEOs.
And,
like, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, I love Lex Luthor, and Lex Luthor's receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. He gives that, like, knowing wink, and I'm like, ooh, son of a bitch! Like, what else did you do? And, yeah, like, and they just, like, slowly start integrating everything, and then Bebo.
Yeah.
Like, that was... I couldn't think of a better... large-scale threat for the new collected universe to fight than...
Bebo.
A giant Bebo.
Yeah.
Brought to you by, like, hackneyed illusionist guy.
Oh, Sargon the Sorcerer.
Yeah, and he was in Supergirl? Was he, like...
I don't remember what show he was on, but that's based on a superhero character in the comics, yeah.
But I thought he had showed up in, like, one of the early seasons of
He may. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, that shows you...
He wasn't very impressive.
And that's the problem. Like, they've had so many, like, one-shot villains over the course of it. And that's the thing I'm most excited about. The fact that you had, like, Weather Witch facing off against Supergirl. That's what I want to see, is I want to see more crossover of villains. If you've got really good actors playing really good villains... Use them wherever you can write stories for them. Give me King Shark against friggin' Supergirl. Like,
yeah.
I'll take, like, I want to see Barry versus, like, Mr. Mixaplick. Like, it's just, like, that was, like, the one thing that I felt like they didn't do enough of with the Flash and Arrow. There was not enough crossover of villains. Like, Arrow just kept on of, like, our villain every season is going to be essentially a big mob boss slash other archer-ish kind of person. And the Flash was like, every season I'm going to be up against, like, another speedster.
Yeah.
And I'm going to face the supernatural, and I'm going to fight the, like, criminal underworld part. Like, give me a little bit of overlap with that, though. Like, give me Barry having to deal with the League of Assassins in Central City. Like, I know it's hard to write stories that make the Flash, like, that are hard for the Flash to deal with. But it's hard to think about that universe and go, oh man, like, the Flash is having a hard time with this. Thank God this person doesn't go 5 miles up the fucking coast and do all the same shit in Star City, where he doesn't have to deal with anybody with superpowers, except for maybe one or two Black Canaries.
Yeah.
So, and now you're in an even larger universe, where you've got even more possibility of, oh man, this is, like, really hard to deal with. It'd be a shame if I would call Supergirl right now, and she could be here by the end time I'm... Oh, done this sentence, there you are, okay. Like...
Yeah.
And they had that pop up a little bit in, like, The Flash, or in Arrow, where, like, The Flash came and rescued them all from Nanda Parbat when they were, like, locked up when Ollie was trying to be the next Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of thing that it's nice to have them acknowledge that, yeah, sometimes, yeah, I can call up Barry Allen and his super speed can solve a problem. And like then there's other times where you're like,
sorry,
can we not call Barry for this?
Like, see, you both have pretty much lost me at this point, because I was like, Black Lightning, sorry. Legends, and that was pretty much it, because I don't know the whole...
Here, I'll get you back. So after it was all said and done,
yes,
and... And the little tributes to Ollie at the end and things like that. They introduced the Hall of Justice.
Yes.
Well, they had introduced it at the end of Crisis right. on Earth X.
Yes, okay.
I think it had showed up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so they brought it back, and it is now the Hall of Justice.
Yes.
Which didn't get its name until the most recent Supergirl episode, yep. where Wynn came back and said, yeah, they call that the Hall yeah. of Justice where I'm from.
And they essentially have their own Justice League headquarters now, with the chairs with their logos on it and everything.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
And they were all sitting at the table and just all grinning at each other because, like...
we're just sitting around in a circle like a bunch of idiots.
What can we do now?
I wish... I don't know, I was kind of mad Ray wasn't there, but I know he's leaving the show and everything.
Yeah, and I think that was probably more it, like... I mean, that's fine. I mean, yeah. like, David Ramsey's going to take over as a Green Lantern, and he'll get
that's
his
right.
chair. And,
that's right.
And, of course, Gleek.
Yes.
Oh, that, when I heard the monkey, like, chittering away, and I was like, oh, please tell me that's going to be Gleek.
Oh, my God. I didn't ever think that they would do that to us.
No.
And of course they would.
Of course.
I just want to know what the hell, who's been feeding this monkey for, like, the past 5 years that he's been in a cage in this facility and nobody's, like...
Checked on him, fed him, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's mean. That's animal cruelty.
Maybe we'll see that there's the Wonder Twins on that planet.
I have a feeling that that's where we're going to go with this, is they're going to introduce the Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they do it. I can imagine the one that turns into animals being a lot of CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we've gotten a couple episodes now of the new normal.
Oh, it's been exciting, actually.
They had our magic reset button of the Martian Manhunter being able to go around and, like, tap people on the head and go, you remember everything, and you remember everything. Like, oh, well, that's convenient. Thank God you were here for that.
Yeah, because they never did that in the original story. Like, eventually everybody forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there was only a couple people that knew what had happened. And
yeah.
It included, like, Superman and, like, I mean, The Flash when he came back.
Yeah.
I think he knew about it. But, yeah, it was neat to see them, like, sort of acknowledge it and see, like, where the new normal is. Because we've got, yeah, now, like, Supergirls... dealing with the fact that, like, they've all had their own little ways of bringing in characters from the... or keeping characters from the multiverse. And the biggest one, I guess, was, like, the bar on Supergirl merging into itself.
Yeah.
So that we've got, like, duplicates of everybody that happened to be at the bar that night are now in this universe. And then Batwoman got...
oh.
Alternate Earth version of her sister.
Yeah.
Which came out of left field. I thought it was... I swore up and down that episode it was an illusion or something.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking...
or the stupid brother that could change his appearance.
Yeah. Well, because the first thought I was having was there was a Batman story with the Mad Hatter. Where Bruce woke up... and his parents hadn't died. And he was engaged to Selina Kyle. And Batman was still there, but it was somebody else. And it was this story of, like, the Mad Hatter had essentially, like, trapped him into a dream.
Oh, okay.
With, like, his quote-unquote perfect life. And, like, they had done an adaptation of it for the animated series. And I thought that's what was going on, because it sort of matched up with the sort of, like, birthday theme of, like, almost to... I thought it might have been a little bit of a nod to, like, the what do you get the man who has everything
story.
Where Clark Kent got the parasite thing attached to his chest that gave him the perfect life. So I thought that's where they were going to go with it.
But yeah.
It just seems like we have a second Beth, and I'm calling my shot right now. She ends up in prison for Alice's crimes.
Okay.
That's where I think they're going with this. It's either that or they're just going to kill her.
Yeah, because at the end of the last one, they both keeled over. Like.
Yeah, so there's some kind of link between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be interesting to see, like, where they develop it. And yeah, over on The Flash, it was kind of interesting to see, like, Cisco being all, like, he's got his, like, trading card collection of, like, one-shot villains. And we have a new Dr. Light with a sniper rifle, apparently.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, so...
Does Cisco still have his powers?
No, he does not.
Are we sure?
Oh, I don't know.
Because
he was given them back.
He was given them back in Crisis with a sort of like, woogity woogity, you have them back now because we need them for the story.
Yeah.
But I thought he gave like a weird look to Caitlin when she was like, are you upset that you took the cure? So, I don't know. His powers might not work quite the same way in the new universe. They said their little button teleporters don't work anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's some interesting character developments with, apparently, this Tom Cavanaugh has a completely different daughter. And she's our new, like, spunky cub reporter sidekick.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's take another break. And when we come back, I know what I'm going to ask you about.
Who?
Mr. Hunter.
Okay.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
After 10,000 years, I shall be victorious.
No, you won't be.
Such confidence. You believe Corrigan prepared you for this fight?
I believe my entire life prepared me for this fight.
All life ends. Only death is eternal. Only I am eternal.
Let's see about that.
All right, welcome back to Crisis. And
it's perpetual.
So after we're talking about kind of all the episodes after Crisis, and after Crisis they did the series finale for Arrow.
After they did the backdoor pilot for
Green Arrow and the Canaries, yeah. What did you think of the finale?
I enjoyed the finale.
Yeah.
I think the only person that didn't show up that was kind of that should have was Ray.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's where he got his start on that show.
Yeah, exactly. But it was nice to see, like, everybody there. Like, you got Barry, you got Kara.
Yeah.
Like, everybody that you... Nyssa and Talia showing up. And apparently Ray... Red Arrow is no worse for wear, having lost his arm a couple episodes ago. He's just walking around with, like, the Luke Skywalker hand, and he's marrying Taya. Like, they gave, like, a good sort of ending to all of those characters, while also matching up with what the backdoor pilot, like, the previous episode had sort of set certain people in a certain direction.
And then certain characters who had died previously came back as well.
That bothered me.
Oh, yeah?
Because of the fact, like, I could have bought that in the reset of the universe, sort of the Earth 2 versions of people that were dead in Earth 1 had sort of been rescued. And so these Earth 2 versions were now being integrated with the universe. But apparently, no, it's like they just all never died. But they make a point of saying, like, oh, Ollie couldn't bring anybody back that was directly tied to the person he became. Well,
which is why the dad never died, I guess.
But Tommy dying at the end of the first season was the whole reason he stopped killing people.
That's right, yeah.
So, Tommy being back was a weird one, and, like, it just seemed like a weird decision to have, like, a super happy ending.
Yeah.
That it didn't need, because it already had that optimistic, hopeful ending. I enjoyed the flashback fight sequence with Stephen Amell. It was a good way of keeping him in the episode, even though it was happening all after his death. It was nice to sort of flash back to that beginning and sort of tie it all into the message of, like, changing to be a better person or having that hope to keep fighting. And yeah, no, I thought it was a really good finale.
And then, as you mentioned earlier, Diggle found the Green Lantern ring.
Yeah, apparently. Well, he found a glowing green box because they cannot,
right.
They could not legally show that he, like, apparently, like, they had to fight really hard to even get, like, that much.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Because it's they've got the new Green Lantern show.
Oh, there's an HBO show coming out.
Show, so they didn't want to step. And a new movie, I think, might be coming down the pipeline, too. So, apparently, like, the WB execs were really...
Oh, so we're never going to see Diggle in a Green Lantern suit,
though. I want to see him next season. I want it to be next season.
That would be awesome. I want to see... That was the crossover next year.
And this was the question that I would have had for you, is what story do you want to see for the crossover next year?
Oh, man, I don't know where to go after this one, man.
Because we had some people talking about, like, a Legion of Doom story. We had some people going, oh, Diggle's got the ring now. We got to do Blackest Night.
Ooh.
I think you need some time.
Yeah.
I think you need a few more main characters to be dead. Because the whole point of Blackest Night was, like, oh, all these good guys are back from the dead. And they're fighting against us. And I don't think we've got enough good guys.
No, there's not, actually. No.
The one I want to see is Tower of Babel.
That was a good story, man.
I think it would be an interesting way of, like, doing that sort of CW drama if it was Ollie that came up with the solutions to fighting everybody.
Tower of Babel was a story where Batman had dossiers on all the Justice League on how to defeat them if it ever came up.
Okay.
So, Ra's al Ghul got his hands on these plans.
Right.
And basically turned them instead of... Batman's plan was, this is how I would stop everybody if they went rogue. Ra's al Ghul went, well, what if we went one better and killed them all?
Yeah.
So, it was like a story of, like, essentially Batman had come up with a plan for how to defeat everybody on the Justice League. And it made, at the end, everybody on the Justice League not trust him. They did an animated version of it with Vandal Savage instead of Ra's al Ghul. But I would like to see a version of that for... like the Arrowverse, because I think it would be an interesting way of, like, oh, well, you get the split of people that are like, Ollie was like a hero, here was his legacy, we're all living up to it, and other people going, the whole time we knew him, he was planning on how to kill us. And I think it would be a good way of, like, maybe reintroducing Ra's al Ghul back into the new universe.
See, I remember something, but I don't know if I actually saw it. I think it was animated, and Robin or someone is asking Batman if he has a dossier on Robin. He's like,
oh, that was Robot Chicken.
Thank you. I knew it was something.
Want to know how he was going to defeat Aquaman?
Oh, Jesus.
He was going to use the Scarecrow's toxin to make him scared of water. And I think it happened in the book, too.
Poor Jason Momoa.
Right? Yeah. Just see him flopping.
He had some weird plans. Like, his plan for Martian Manhunter was, because Martian Manhunter is afraid of fire, he had a chemical that he would basically spray the Martian Manhunter down with that would instantly catch fire.
Oh.
So the Martian Manhunter would perpetually be on fire. Wonder Woman, like a chip or something in her brain, or a drug or something, where she would see everybody as a supervillain. So she would just fight everybody around her.
And they did that in the cartoon, too.
And because of the person she is, she wouldn't actually be beaten by anybody. She would just, her body would fail from her working too hard. Because she would look around her and see supervillains everywhere.
Right.
And she would keep fighting until basically she gave herself a heart attack.
Ow.
Superman, the plan was to make his, skin slightly translucent so that he would absorb too much solar energy and had to actually leave the planet.
And how was his plan of doing that? Like, how was he planning turning Batman like Superman translucent?
Science.
And
and then his whole thing with, like, Green Lantern was he was gonna, like, hypnotically trick him into, like, not being able... Like, he had, like, post-hypnotic, like, don't quit... Like, quit smoking tapes that he was gonna get it... That he was getting him to listen to that would make him not be able to use his ring. Like, the comics version was really stupid.
Sounds like it.
But the cartoon one actually did, like, a pretty good job of, like, they basically made, like, Barry had, like, an explosive that if he... He was the bus from Speed.
Oh, geez.
That if he slowed down, he would explode. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, they actually took care of Green Arrow by... Or Green Lantern by, like... putting him in a situation where, like, he couldn't save somebody.
Oh, wow.
And then he just, like, lost confidence in his own ability to save people.
Can you imagine? Where's the Flash? Over there, over there, over there, up there. Ew.
Now, the other one I've heard people talk about for the next crossover is in one of the episodes, Wally talks about fighting Starro.
Oh.
So, Starro is a giant space starfish. That was the very first Justice League comic. They fought this thing. This was what brought them together in the first Justice League comic.
A giant Patrick from space, basically.
Yes. Yes.
He could expel smaller starfish that would attach themselves to your face, and he would control the humans through that.
Oh, face huggers.
Mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd watch that. That'd be awesome.
I think it would be an interesting one. Like... It would just be, like, wacky enough. Like, because I think from here, like, you're not going to be able to ramp up the drama or the intensity. I think you just have to have, like, a fun crossover. Like, I think you just have to have one that is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So whether or not that involves, like, if they don't bring back Gleek until next crossover, but, yeah, I could also see a Legion of Doom kind of thing.
Yeah, that'd be decent, because they have Lex, they have Gorilla Grodd.
We could have Lex steal 47 cakes, which is... Or 40 cakes, which is as many as 4 tens.
Oh,
and that's terrible.
It's an old comic from the 70s.
No, not even... Was it a comic, or was it like a like kid's book?
Like a kid's math book or something.
Yeah, so there was a kid's math book that was based on DC Comics. This is the tangents that we could go off into now. Where they're like teaching kids numbers, and... At one point, you've got a shot of, like, Lex Luthor running away with, like, a cart full of cakes. And the caption is just, Lex Luthor once stole 40 cakes, which is as many as 4 tens, which is terrible. But the best part was in the main comics, when Lex Luthor went on trial for numerous crimes...
They brought that up.
One of the crimes that they listed that he committed was at one point he stole a bunch of cakes.
That was early in his career, before he got good.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I did not like John Cryer originally as Lex Luthor.
I was going to ask if your opinion's
changed. I thought
he was
a little, like, whiny and not... I didn't see him as imposing. Like, I feel like Lex Luthor was supposed to be, like, the pinnacle of human achievement... And that's why he was so mad at Superman. Like,
yeah.
He's like, I have spent my entire life being the smartest, being strongest, being the top of the food chain, and some guy just comes around and he can just fly and do whatever. John Cryer feels a little, like, wormy.
John Cryer-y.
Like, the problem is I'm too used to seeing him in...
Two and a Half Men
is the easiest one I can think of where I have no respect for you as a person. But I'm sorry that in the crossover they didn't refer to him, like, nobody referred to him as, like, they could have easily had Kingdom Come Superman go, hey, you're Lex's nephew.
That's right, yeah.
John Cryer in Superman 3 played Lex Luthor's nephew.
Lenny Luthor.
Yeah. Lenny Luthor.
Oh my god.
See? So it would have been great for Brandon Routh to just be like, Lenny? But they did not do it. And yeah. But, so yeah, I have a hard time buying, like, he's gotten better, like, he's showing a little bit more of his, like, evil chops. I think, like, him rewriting the Book of Destiny was what made me go, okay, I'll pay attention to this guy now. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where all the series go from here.
Yeah.
I might check out, like, the next episode of Black Lightning just to see what they plant.
Yeah, I'm curious, too. Yeah.
I still have to watch. I have to start watching season 3, actually.
Well, they had the map in the Flash that had, in the background, had a bunch of locations, including, we now know where Star City and Central City are. They're on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Metropolis is on the East Coast.
That makes sense, because it's supposed to be New York.
Yeah, Metropolis is our New York stand-in. It looks like Central City is Los Angeles.
Oh.
Star City seems to be like Seattle. Ish area. Okay.
Yep.
But other things that popped up on the map, they had, like, Nanda Parbat show up.
Yeah.
The one that I don't know if you caught, Dinosaur Island.
I did not see that.
Dinosaur Island is from, like, a Superman comic.
Oh.
And with the new Superman and Lois TV show starting up, I'm wondering if they are going to do a Dinosaur Island
story. It could
be.
You know what? They, in the comics, they have a son now, and there was a story recently where him and the son went to Dinosaur Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, I wonder if that was a plant for, because all the other locations that they had were, like, ones that have come up on the show.
Yeah.
So they had, like, Cordo Maltese or whatever.
Gorilla City was on there.
Gorilla City was on there, and so was, like, Moldovia or,
Oh, Markovia?
Markovia.
Yeah.
So, like, all these locations had shown up, and then there were I think Lian Yu was on there too, but like Dinosaur Island was the one that popped up, and I'm like, that's pretty cool. So
cool. He couldn't speak. People, this is huge.
Dinosaurs, man.
I like dinosaurs. So what can I say? I want to see Superman fight a T-Rex. I'm a simple man.
Maybe a Brontosaurus.
Okay.
Triceratops.
No, he's got to ride a Triceratops.
Oh, okay.
Though, of course, maybe we'll get a Superman at, like, Earth's End storyline where Superman ended up in the future with no powers.
Right, right.
The beard.
And the beard, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Superman could ride a Stegosaurus, though, because of the plates on their back.
He's Superman. It wouldn't hurt him.
It's a man of steel.
Plates.
Okay, fine. I just figured they'd be really uncomfortable to sit on.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Interesting.
These guys are hilarious.
Isn't there like a narrow spot in between the plates on a Stegosaurus that you could probably ride in?
Oh, probably, but that'd be uncomfortable.
There's also biological evidence. There's biological theories that the plates themselves could go up and down as like a cool. It was like meant as like a cooling or a temperature control for the Stegosaurus. So it's possible that they could all like fold down and you could just sit on them. It would be like a bench.
Okay, that'd be cool. Oh, that's an. I've never heard that theory before. That's neat. That makes sense too.
So. I didn't know a Stegosauri were like big sinks.
Hmm. Sometimes you got a brain the size of a peanut. Your body has to pick up the slack. You're like, brain's not doing anything to get us out of this sun. We got this, guys. Floop.
Floop.
And it made that sound, too.
Yeah, that was it. That was floop. That's your biology lesson for the day. Stegosauri meant floop.
And on that note, so over at. All in all, Crisis was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crisis averted.
Oh. I see what you did there.
For now, until Superboy rattles his cage.
True.
And starts punching walls.
Punching walls. Oh, man.
That's another story we'll explain to you on a later
date. Next Crisis.
Yeah,
maybe when I'm not so tired or stressed out. That'd be great.
All right. Well, thanks for having us over.
Yes, thank you.
And the next time you'll be hearing from these lovely folks is when we get to our top 10 movies of last year.
Yes.
At the Lost Hunter Cantina.
Yes.
I remembered.
Hooray!
And we'll see if Sarah's wrong about her number one pick again this year.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Wow, she was so wrong. No. I'm just teasing.
I know, that's why I'm laughing.
Yeah.
All right, well,
so funny.
Thanks, guys. And as Sarah said, crisis averted.
Yay!
All right.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.